worship that comes from you. Our eighth election will be, let God's people rejoice. Our fifth election will be, all in His hands. I'll put it all in His hands. All of my problems, all of my burdens, I put it all in His hands.
I just wish you would close your eyes as we sing this song.
Oh, keep my soul from day to
I don't want to rush it.
Under the blood, take doubt and fear and sin away. Under Thy precious blood, keep me under Thy blood, Thy precious blood, under the cleansing healing blood, keep me safe. Someday to fall under.
If that's your testimony, just raise your hand to the Lord.
Under the blood, that precious blood.
Hear yourself singing it.
Under that cleansing healing blood. Keep me, Savior, from day to day. Oh, under Thy precious, keep me under the blood, Thy precious blood, under Thy cleansing blood, keep me safe from day to day. Under Thy precious blood, keep me under Thy blood, Thy precious blood, under Thy cleansing healing blood. Oh, keep me safe someday, today, oh, under. One more time, keep me. We're making melody to the Lord. Such blood. Sing it, y'all. Under thy cling. Sing ye, cling blood. Oh, keep me safe from day to day. Oh, under thy precious. Keep me under the blood, thy precious blood. Keep me under thy cleansing healing blood. Keep me safe from day to day. Under thy precious blood, keep me under thy blood. Thy precious blood, push that under thy cleansing healing blood. Keep me safe from day to day, under thy precious blood. Keep me under. Grant it tonight, Lord. Hear our prayer, O God. Under thy cleansing, healing. Oh God, Jesus. Grant it, Jesus. Grant it, Jesus. Oh, yes, under. Keep me under the blood. Whatever you do, Lord, don't let us get out from under your blood. Under the cleansing. Sing healing blood, oh, keep me safe from day to day. Under thy precious blood. Just raise your hands and worship the Lord. Oh, Shatadabo. Oh, Shatadabo, Shanada. Ishatatatatoba, Shatadabosa. Oh, Rababo, Shetandaramosa. Ishatadabo, Shanada. Ishatadabo, Sheba. Ishatadabo, Rababo, Shandalabo, ya. Oh, Rabakacheta. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. Ishaba. Rokotandalana Shebo. Ayakondalana Sadabo. Rokandalana Mosheba. Hallelujah to God. Thank you. We are not ashamed. That's the name of the Lord. That's the name of the Lord. We are not in a hurry tonight. And we are not ashamed just to wait. Let's all say praise the Lord. It is good just to wait in God's presence, just to calmly think upon His goodness. The song says, Lord, keep my soul from day to day under the blood. Take doubt and fear and take sin away under thy precious blood. Under the blood, the precious blood. Can you imagine what the firstborn men among the children of Israel must have felt like as they heard the weeping and wailing of people on the outside who for one reason or another is not under the blood. On the outside, the muffled sound of death. On the inside, a deep settled peace to know that death angel is passing over me because I am under the blood.
It is not possible for any saint, actually, to always be aware of the fact that they are safe in the Lord. It is not possible because we go about our daily lives and there are times in our life that other things occur. But then there are those moments when we too hear the tragic story of those that died without knowing Jesus. And then, even though we are sad over their demise, down deep inside, there is an assurance because we are under the blood. We do not take that lightly. I treasure the fact that my life is hid with Christ in God. I treasure the fact that I have an anchor for soul, sure and steadfast and unmovable. Tonight I want you to remember the words of this song. Keep me under the blood. Why don't you just look towards heaven just one more time and ask God just once again, keep me under the blood. Keep me under thy precious blood. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 19, in the Old Testament, I'm all right so far. In the book of St. Luke, chapter number 17, I would appreciate it tonight if you would just give me a little more time to share the Word of God with you. I want to say now how privileged I have felt all week to be in Jerusalem Temple and to be granted the opportunity to have something to say about Jesus. I would like to thank Bishop Jones and his lovely wife and family who have shown us tremendous kindness and hospitality. I'm sure I speak for both myself and for our Minister of Music, Brother Kenneth Houston. It's good to be here. We thank the Lord for Sister Mary. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Been so kind to us, making sure that we were well taken care of, and we thank the Lord. And we got a chance to eat a piece of that cake somebody made. And we thank the Lord for that too. So I'll say amen. Did I make myself clear? All right. Let's go to the Word of God. In the book of Genesis, chapter 19, I just want to read one verse. And Lot went out, in verse 14, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked, let's all say mocked, unto his sons-in-law. The people of God said amen. And in the book of St. Luke, chapter 17, we will focus our attention on verse 32. This is not a difficult verse. Those who have never taken up the art of Bible memorization will find this a convenient place to begin. It does not require a lot of time to commit this verse to memory. It reads simply, remember Lot's wife. Let's all say that. Let's say it one more time. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help us tonight. Create an atmosphere, oh God, for us to receive your word. Lord, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say it one more time. Remember Lot's wife. They tell us that generally speaking, at least for a time, if we will repeat three times what we see, we will generally keep it for a while in our memory. Jesus is speaking, sharing the word, and he says to those that he is speaking to, remember Lot's wife. He goes through quite a bit to share with them those words. He speaks to them about his return. That was always a subject that was dear to the heart of the Lord. Because he always knew that no matter what he did at this time, he always looked forward to the time that he would return. He shares with us some of the things that are going to happen just prior to his return. He creates for us a portrait in word, kind of guideline, that will help us to know what it's going to be like when Jesus comes. He says to us, I want you to consider the lightning. Tonight, as we were preparing to come to service, a thunderstorm moved into Philadelphia. I was sitting looking out the front window of our room. It was kicking up a tremendous storm. And it looked like for some reason it was blowing on the other side of that street, whatever that is, in front of our hotel. So I walked outside and it wasn't really blowing where I was, but I could see quite a fuss just across the street. I looked up into the sky to check to see if I saw anything looking kind of like a bottom of ice cream cone. After I looked in the sky and saw none, I stayed out a while to check it out. While I was standing there, in the midst of that cloud was lightning. It was brilliant, but it kind of came and went in a flash. Wasn't anything that you could stand and look at for a long time and kind of consider. You just had to kind of see it and then remember what you saw. Because by the time you saw it, it was already gone. Jesus said that my coming is going to be kind of like that lightning. It's going to flash, and by the time you realize it's here, it's really gone. Says, but before the lightning experience, there's going to be some suffering, some rejection. Then he says, I want you to know that the atmosphere, the climate, is going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. He said they will be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. They're going to be having a high time on the earth. And while they're having a high time on the earth, Jesus is going to come. Can I preach the name? Said, you notice that in Noah's time, not only were they eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, but they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage all the way up until the time Noah went in the ark. Said they didn't stop partying hardy the whole time Noah was preparing to get out of here. I said they kept on partying as they watched him go into the ark. They were partying while he walked to the ark, when he got in the ark, and then God shut the door. Said, now as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Somebody say amen if you believe it. Then he suddenly stopped.
changes gears, moves over to an entirely different story. Shows us a little bit in the life of the man Lot. He says, if Noah didn't really do it for you, let me tell you about Lot. Maybe you just can't relate to Noah. Boats and mountains does seem a little odd and strange. But let me tell you about Lot. Said, just like it was in the days of Noah, it was like that in the days of Lot. Said, they kind of got hooked on this eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. It was kind of one of those things folks do just before judgment. Says it was just that way in the days of Lot. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They bought and they sold, they planted and they built it. And they did it all the way up to the top. The fire and the brimstone fell in the land of Lot. Said, now I want you to know that's the way it's going to be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Somebody ought to say amen. What are you trying to tell us, Jesus? I'm trying to tell you that there are some things that shout out at you and kind of let you know that it's running time. And interestingly enough, the very things that tell you it's time to run are the same things that keep you from running. Kind of like a cruel joke, you know. The devil makes you feel like everything's okay. But what you're really supposed to get from his message is, it's running time. Now, I know you're wondering what the subject of this message is. And so I'm going to tell you now so it'll make sense. The subject is, in the end, it's up to you. In the end, it's up to you. Turn to somebody and tell them it's up to you. Jesus then proceeds. After he says that, and he says, let's just see how it's going to be on the day that I come. On the day that I come, some are going to be on the housetop. Now, that don't make sense to you, because most folks kind of afraid of heights anyhow, and you just let the carpenter go on up there and do what he has to do. That don't make sense to you. But you see, Jesus wasn't talking about the housetop like you know housetop. He was talking about the housetop over in Israel. And over in Israel, in the part that he was at this time when he gave this message, they kind of built their houses along the side of the mountain. And you access your neighbor not by walking across the street or down the street, but by walking up your house and up some steps to his house, which was just a little higher than your house. So Jesus said, when he comes, there were going to be some people on the housetop. So really what we understand from this is there's going to be the folks that would be going towards their neighbor's house. Having a little fellowship. Don't say fellowship. Said there's going to be some folks that when Jesus comes are going to be thinking about some stuff they had in their house. Jesus said, forget about your stuff in the day that I come. Said there's going to be some that are in the field, totally oblivious to the fact that Jesus is coming. They have no idea that he's on his way. They're going to be out in the field planting or chopping or something. They're going to be out there. Jesus said, that's what it's going to mean when I come. Now he goes on to this, and then he drops this one little verse on us. And he says, some are going to be on the housetop. Some are going to try to get their stuff. Yeah. Some are going to be in the field. And then out of nowhere he says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. I looked it up. Y'all know I did. The word remember here does not mean, and is not talking about committing to memory. As in, remember your birthday. This remember means to commit to the act of exercising the memory you already have. It is not saying start to remember. is saying, remember that you remember.
Yes, sir.
Keep it in your conscience. You say, remember last one.
When you're out there chopping or picking the cotton or the collard or the turnip or the carrots or the potatoes or the onions or whatever you plant this year, somebody say to you,
remember last one. Can I take my time?
The verb is in the present imperative. Now, the imperative is a must word. Like, you better get up, and I mean now. That's an imperative. You understand clearly that whoever said that to you ain't praying. So Jesus said, don't play with yourself.
Don't play with yourself.
Make sure that you remember last night.
Yeah.
Can I help y'all just a little bit? This remember is the same remember that he speaks of in St. John chapter 15 when he says, remember the word that I say unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. In John chapter 16 he says, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. My words in your ears will serve as a perpetual warning. You're not supposed to let this slip.
You're
supposed to keep this. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Remember last night. Now, Jesus speaks this to them. And he says to them, this ought to be a rallying point for you as you live. Now, you will notice he is not speaking to the Pharisees, the scribes, of the Sadducees.
No,
this is not a message that he gives to them because he knows they don't want to hear what he has to say anyhow. He's speaking to his disciples.
Yes,
he's taking this time in an honest and unveiled effort,
yes,
to let them know, if you want to be ready when I come, remember last night.
Right.
Notice he does not encourage the people to remember Abraham.
No.
He does not encourage them to remember Jacob.
No.
He does not encourage them to remember Isaac or Joseph. He does not encourage them to remember Moses. He does not encourage them to remember Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel. He picks Lot's wife.
Yes.
And he says, if you want something to keep you ready for the rapture, remember Lot's wife. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Can I preach here tonight? Let's go back and check out last night. The story is told and begins when the angels come to the house of Abraham. They come and Abraham instantly recognizes that he has an unusual visitation. He is filled with thanksgiving in his heart because these angels bring to him a message of joy. They tell him that the visitation already experienced by his wife was not a fluke, that indeed he was going to be blessed. And blessed, as a matter of fact, more than could be imagined. His seed was going to populate the earth and be as the stars in heaven. What a wonderful blessing he receives from the angel. And indeed, we understand that one of the angels was the Lord speaking to Abraham. So when he hears this message, Abraham is enjoying the communion with the Lord. Jesus said he rejoiced to see my day, heart, and was glad. This was an extraordinary period of time in the life of Abraham. Suddenly, though, he watches as one angel dispatches two other angels to go to the land of Sodom. Now, notice the Lord has just spoken to Abraham a tremendous blessing. He then dispatches the angels to Sodom, and while they are on their way, the Lord begins to think about this thing. And notice what he says. Shall I hide what I am about to do from Abraham? I know that Abraham will order his house after him. I know that Abraham will do right by me. I know that Abraham is going to instruct his household to follow after God. Therefore, I will not hide what I am about to do. I'm going to tell Abraham what is in my mind. It's good to have a relationship with Pharaoh. You will notice here that Abraham had such a relationship that God felt compelled to share with him things that were going to happen in the future. So he says to Abraham, he says, Abraham, I'm about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm about to wipe them off the face of the earth because of the wickedness that has come up in my ears. And soon as he says these words, Abraham instantly remembers, I have a nephew in Sodom. And so he begins to petition the Lord. And he says to God, Lord, will you destroy Sodom if we can find 50 righteous in the city? He goes, and the Lord says, yes, if you can find 50. Abraham says, oh, what was I thinking of? That's too many folks. Let me break it down a little bit. Lord, how about 45? Yeah, 40. No. 40, no. 35, 30, 20. Nowhere that he picked a number did he even know that there was somebody there. He keeps petitioning the Lord while the angels are on their way to Sodom. And he said, Lord, will you spare the city? Now you see, when he got down so low, he realized that there was not enough righteous in the city of Sodom to fulfill the requirement of God. But there was something in the back of his mind that said to him, my nephew is in Sodom. He was using his relationship with the Lord to ask for mercy for his nephew. But you will notice he does not call him out by name. He doesn't say to the Lord, I got lost in Sodom. I can't tell you exactly why he didn't do it, but let's speculate just a little bit. Maybe he was embarrassed that his family member was in Sodom and had hoped that maybe he could touch the heart of God without having to admit that I've got a nephew in Sodom. I can't tell you exactly why, but I can tell you that he petitioned the Lord. But even though he petitioned the Lord did not have the angel from going to Sodom. Y'all just stay with me here a little while. He then goes on and God ministers to him. Now let's pick up the angels as they are going to Sodom. We see them approach the city. But I want you to know that God is a good God. He knows not only what you want but what you need. He even knows what's on the inside of your heart. He knows some of the things that you ask for even before you ask them. He knows those deep heated desires that you don't even speak for in prayer. Now, let me show you how good God is. He's in theophany form, speaking to Abraham in the place of Abraham. But while he's talking to Abraham and having communion with him, he sends a message through the Spirit and speaks to the angels and said, I want you to go in the Sodom. I want you to go down Lot's Street. I want you to stop at Lot's house, and I want you to get Lot out of there. I'm doing it for Abraham's sake. Come on and shout hallelujah. Let me tell you tonight, I'm just as sure as my name is what it is, that I'm standing before you here tonight because God had mercy on my soul because of my mother and her mother. Somebody prayed for me when I didn't know what was good for me. Somebody held on to God. I hear the words of a song. Saints, don't stop praying, for the Lord is not. Don't stop praying. He'll hear your cry. For the Lord has promised, and his word is true. Saints, don't stop praying. He'll answer you. Come on, it's time, hallelujah. I'm here to tell you tonight, don't stop praying for your family members, even though they haven't come to the Lord. Don't stop praying for that son and daughter. Son, don't stop praying for your sister. God hears your prayer. Come on, it's time, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now notice the Bible called Lot a righteous man. Apparently he had some kind of knowledge of the Lord. The Bible said that the angels went into the land of Sodom. And when they got into the city, they did not find Lot in his house. They found him at the gate. I looked up the gate of Sodom, and in the Sodom city, the gate was in a place called the Broad Place. It was a congregation place in the city of Sodom. Lot was found in a place where all the folk in the city were found. Here is a righteous man that is in the Broad Place. What is a righteous man doing in a Broad Place? Y'all better hear me tonight. He's rubbing shoulders with the Sodomites. He's having talks and discussions with the Sodomites. He's conducting business with the Sodomites. Y'all just stay here with me tonight. He's having all kinds of intercourse with the Sodomites. But the angels knew who he was. And when they came to him and let him know who they were, the Bible said he took them to his house. And when he took them to his house, we see a prophetic event. The people of Sodom, it was a city of perverts. I'm not going to be fancy with the word. They were just perverts. Men loving men. They saw these two angels and lust came up in them. And they said, I want a piece of those two men. They came to the house of Lot. They knew where he lived. And they said to him, send out those men. Hallelujah to God. Now notice what Lot said. I want you to hear me real close. Lot comes out of his house and he stands and tries to reason with the people of Sodom. And he says to them, don't mess with these men. I have two daughters. They're virgin daughters. Why don't you take them and do what you want to do with them? Isn't it a sad thing when folk are so carnal? They've been in Sodom so long that they've lost touch with the Lord. This man was so perverted and was so out of touch with God that he thought it was permissible to offer up his children. Hear me today. It may not make sense to you, but I'm here to tell you, we've got some saved folk that are offering up their children to the Lord. They're walking the God themselves, but they're saying things like, you know, we can't push our children. You know, we can't really call them to come to church. Because if you push your children, you may push them out of the church. So they try to live it, but they tell the children it's all right for them to do what they want to do. But I'm here to tell you, it's like offering up your children to the minister. Come on and shout hallelujah. I want to give you a key here tonight before we move on. Don't let anybody tell you that there's something wrong with bringing your children to church or making them pray with you or reading the Bible with them. Telling them about the Lord is not pushing them out of church. But I'll tell you what'll push them out. What pushes children out is when you say one thing and then do another. When they know that you ain't for real. They wonder what you are telling them to do if you won't do it yourself. Come on inside, hallelujah. The Bible said he left his children. He offered them up. But I thank God tonight that the Lord didn't let him make that mistake. The angel pulled him back in the house. Now hear the word of the Lord. The Bible said the angels spoke to Lot and asked him, do you have anybody in this city? Do you have somebody that you've been witnessing to in this city? Have you started a Bible class in this city? Do you have a prayer meeting in your house in this city? Is anybody coming to you to hear about the Lord? Well, I'm sad to tell you, he had been so long in the city that he had absolutely no influence in some. He did not have anybody he could point to. You see, the angels were telling him, I'm going to give you a chance to get anybody you know that wants to be delivered, an opportunity to be delivered. But he had been there so long and had done so much and had gotten so used to the sins of Sodom that he would not even have a list of folks he could point to and say, I told them about the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hear the word of the Lord. The Bible said finally, the angel spoke to Lot and he said to him, God's going to destroy this city. Get your sons and your daughters and get out of the path. Now notice Lot went to his sons-in-law and he said, the Lord is going to destroy this city. Hear what the sons-in-law said. They said, you sound to us like a man that is crazy. They mocked him and laughed at him. It was as a tale that was told. How could it be that a man could live so that his own sons-in-law wouldn't believe him when he told him about the message of salvation? It's a sad testimony that a man could live so bad that he couldn't influence even his own family for those that. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hear me tonight. The Bible said that the angels then spoke to him and told him to gather up your daughters and get your wife and get out of the city. Now I'm trying to show you just how bad it was. You would think that the first time the angel said it, they would have got out there, but the angels had to keep telling them, get out the city. What was it about them that they would be so resistant to hearing the message of deliverance? Finally, the Bible said that the angel grabbed them by the hand to encourage them to flee for their lives. And even while he did it, Lot was trying to negotiate with the angels. He said, well, can I just go up the road of peace and stay there? I can't understand how somebody, knowing that God has made a chance for them to get out, would still try to stay close to the city of Sodom. I know y'all ain't gonna shout on this, but just stay with me a while. The Bible said that finally the angel got him out of the city. Now I want to tell you about the kind of folk that hears the message the first time with the sons of law. When they heard it, they thought it was a big joke. I'm here to tell you, there's some folks tonight that think it's a big joke. They've been laughing at it. I had a chance the other night to watch a little bit of Arsenio. And Arsenio had Whoopi on there. Whoopi Goldberg. And she was making fun of preachers talking about God. I sat there and wondered, how could she make fun like that? The Lord spoke to me and told me that she didn't even believe that there was a God. She thought it was a big joke. And there are some people that think it's a big joke. I've been in Philadelphia now for 4 days. And everywhere I go, I've been asking where I saw to come to church tonight. I told them to come. Most of them looked at me, kind of smiled with a smile and told me, well, I know why they said, well, they don't really believe that they need to come to church. But I'm here to tell you, God's not going to wait too much longer. He's going to split the sky, and only those that have made themselves ready shall go back to be with the Lord. Come on and shout hallelujah.
Well, can I keep on preaching him? The Bible says that they began to make their way out of the city. Now notice the provision of God. I'm here to tell you God is a good God. They were dragging their feet. They were throwing around. And the angel said, hurry up, y'all. We can't do anything until you get out of the city. The Lord has spoken to us. The city wants to deliver you. Can't do anything until you get out of the city. I thank God that He smiled on my soul because I was one of those guilty folks that kept on weeping when I heard the message. I would sit in my seat. The man would be preaching and he would be teaching. And I'd sit in my seat and would not move. But I'm so glad that the Lord waited until my heart was broken by the Holy Ghost. I'm so glad that the Lord waited, hallelujah to God, until I could get under the blood. Come on inside, hallelujah. Hear me tonight. The angel spoke, and he said, you got to get out, and you got to get out now. Grab them by the hand, and send them on their way. Now listen to what he said. He spoke to them these words of instruction. He said, when you leave this place, it's not enough just to leave. He said, but when you leave, don't look back. Don't check it out. Just get out. How the giving is good. I know tonight somebody is in here saying it sounds to me like he's preaching the same thing. I can't preach from what God told me. This is all I have. The angel spoke to them and said, don't look back. The Bible said, Lot had his two daughters, left them bozo boys in Sodom, got his daughters and made tracks. Come on, you son, hallelujah. Well, so hot, so good. They're getting out while they have time. They're making a way while they have time. Hallelujah to God. He had six over which he had some influence, or five rather, and he came out with four. I guess it is six. And he came out with four, but he came with his four and made his way. Hallelujah to God. And let me show you how good God is. The moment Lot and his wife and his two daughters stepped out of the city boundary, when they got out on the other side of the rock, when they got on this side of the city boundary, the Bible said the angel spoke to the heavens, and fire and brimstone fell out of heaven on Sodom. Now notice this, and the city round about. You see, some folks don't understand. They think only Sodom and Gomorrah got it. But the Bible said, Sodom and Gomorrah and the city round about. Hallelujah for God. You see, God's trying to tell you that it's not safe anywhere near Sodom. If you're going to get out, you got to get all the way out. If you're going to go out, you got to go all the way. Whoa! Come on, stop telling me. We don't have church here at the house. The Bible said, you see, anybody can shout, but we got to be ready. God has made a whole eternity for us to shout, but we got to get ready now. The Bible said they were outside of the city and the city round about. Hallelujah to God. Now, some folk in this group of folk, the daughters-in-law, they got out because of the influence of their father. They kind of got a blessing because they were with their father. I want you to know, however you get saved, it's all right. But there is a blessing, parents that are born in Christ. There is a blessing when God's people have children. Because you have a chance to get God to them before the world gets to them. Hallelujah to God. While you are teaching them their ABCs, teach them their ABCs in Jesus.
Jesus. Teach him that he's almighty. Teach him that he's a blessing. Teach him that he's the Christ. Teach him that he's a deliverer. Teach him that he's an all-healer. Teach him that he's a faithful. Teach him that he is God. Hallelujah to God. There is a blessing in being saved and having children. You get a chance to tell them about the Lord. Come on inside. Hallelujah. The Bible says that as they were on their way out, now Lot has a wife. Now you know what the Bible says about a wife. She's flesh of my flesh. Hallelujah to God. When you get married to a woman, she becomes just like you. The twain become one. And old Lot has his wife maybe around his heart as they are making their way to the land of promise. And away from the land of destruction. But the Bible says, all of a sudden, here comes an independent thought on the part of Lot's wife. And the Bible says, she turned and looked back. And at the moment she turned and looked back, the Bible says she became a pillar of salt. Hallelujah to God. And Jesus now speaks to her out of the New Testament, and he says, remember Lot's wife. Whatever you do, don't forget about Lot's wife. Come on, shout hallelujah. Just remember Lot's wife. Well, let's look at this for a while. What makes it so interesting is that Lot's wife is not turned to a pillar of salt. We know that part. But why did she turn? She turned because her heart was still in Sodom. She's still within Sodom. It's a sad thing to be delivered and still lost. She said, I may be out, but she was not out in her heart. She had been redeemed. She had been set free. She had been delivered, but she wasn't delivered in her heart. She was out in her body, but she was not out in her heart. I'm here to tell you, it's not enough to come to the altar and say, I want to be saved, because somebody told you that that's what you need. It's not enough to get baptized because you want to be safe. I've heard some folk that will get baptized in the name of Jesus just to be on the safe side. But hear me tonight. Salvation is not what you do, but what you have in your heart. It's got to be in your heart. It's got to be in your heart. She died because she was not delivered in her heart. She still was looking for what she left in Sodom. You can't progress in God when you are still looking at what you left in the world. That's why at Calvary, I stopped them from testifying. If they stop testifying and say these words, you know, saints, I used to dance, but the Lord, since God saved me, I don't dance anymore. But I could. I got it in me. It wouldn't take nothing for me to turn around now. I ain't stopping this. Because if they say that dance is still in us. Hallelujah to God. If they say, I used to put down a fifth of whiskey in my heyday. And if I wasn't saved, I could still put down half a pint. Something is wrong if you look back and say, pride is the way you were before God sees. I ain't gonna lost anything I had in the world. I want to be free. I want to be empty. I want to be real. I'm sorry. Come on, shout hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah. Hear me today. You can notice one thing. Now, there's a lot about Lot. that needs a whole lot of help. But there's one thing about Lot I love. When he finally realized what kind of mess he was in, even though his wife turned back, he kept on stepping. Even though his wife looked back, he kept on stepping. Even though his wife wanted to get another piece, he kept on stepping. I'm here to tell you tonight, you got to have a made up mind that no matter what, I'm going to stay under the blood of Jesus. I'm not going to let my deliverance slip out my hands. I'm not going to let this deliverance that God has given me slip through my fingers. If God ever saved me, I'm going to stay saved. If God ever helped me, I'm going to stay held. I don't care if my mother don't want to go, I've got to see the King. I don't care if my daddy don't go, I've got to see the King. I don't care if my sister don't go, I've got to see the King. He's done so much for me. He brought me out from a mighty long way. He picked me up, turned me around. He did it all by himself. He didn't have to do it, but he did it anyhow. I'm not gonna lose my spot. I'm not gonna miss my boat. I'm not gonna miss out. Hey, shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. In the end, it's up to you. In the end, you got to have it for yourself. Hallelujah to God. You got the Lord that is well with your soul. He needs today. I heard some fools talking noise lately. They've been talking like they can still get in before it's too late. They're saying stupid stuff like, I'll stay out here. But before he comes, I'll run on in there and get me a touch. Hallelujah to God. But I'm here to pray. You praying a fool because you don't know when the Lord will come. I heard the word say he's coming in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. He's coming when you beat not. He's coming when you get the promotion. He's coming when you get the new car. He's coming on your wedding day. He's coming when you go to pray. He's coming, and you can't get ready. They got to be ready. They can't walk on it. They got to have it done. He's coming, as a thief in the night. He's coming, and in the end, it's up to you. Turn to somebody and tell them it's up to you. Oh, come on, tell them it's up to you. Come on, tell them it's up to you. Hallelujah, brother. You came around on your mama's coattail. Hallelujah. Listen to me. I'm going to make this real plain. Jesus said, he's coming in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. You know, a whole lot of folk got that messed up. A whole lot of them got it messed up. They think twinkling means a batting of the eye. But let me tell you something about the difference. When you bat your eye, you do it at 1/30th of a second. That means take 1 second and divide it into 30 pieces, pick out one of them, and that's how fast you bat your eye. But Jesus said, that's too slow. I come faster than that. We got cameras that can catch your eyelid on the way down. But Jesus said, I ain't coming in a batting of the eye. I'm coming in a twinkling of an eye. Now, a twinkle is the time it takes light to refract off the mucous membrane of your eyeball. We timed it out, and it's done in milliseconds. That is at 1/1000th of a second. In other words, take 1 second, divide it into 1,000 pieces, pick one of them out, and let me tell you what God's going to do. In 1/1000th of a second, he's going to change this muscle into immortal. corruptible. He's going to take this corruptible and change it into incorruptible. In that piece of power, he's going to blow the trumpet. Come up, give up. All those who have made themselves ready are going to be cut up. Hey, hallelujah. Let me tell you how it's going to be. Jesus said, and the Lord that look for his appearing shall he appear the second time. God wants somebody that is looking for the blessed hope and the return of Jesus. Let me tell you how it's going to be. Somebody, they'll be in the field of truth, cutting their grass. But while they're cutting, they're going to say, thank you down here. And Jesus up there. They're going to say, hallelujah down here. And Luger up there. They're going to say, glory down here. And we up there. They're going to praise him. Hey, 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 come on, shout hallelujah. In the end, it's up to you. In the end, you got to get it for yourself. So Jesus said, whatever you do, remember, like mine. It's a shame to be out, but not really out. It's a shame to be gone, but not really gone. And it's a shame to be saved, but not really saved. Jesus said, I'm coming for the moment that you see not. In the end, it's up to you. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this message. I can tell. Y'all don't want to hear it? I'm going to tell you, some folks don't believe that you got to keep your life right now. Pastor Jones' calendar of appointments. I got skinnier and skinnier. Folks confessing for themselves, all by themselves. Help me, Jesus. They're doing more and saying less. Help me, Jesus. Tightening up on the money. Help me, Jesus. Loosening up on the lips. Help me, Jesus. But in the end, it's up to you. Where are my shadows now? What happened to my jumpers? Come on, let's jump now. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus said, only the pure in heart shall see God. Your heart must be clean to see Jesus. The Savior who died on the tree, who purchased your salvation. Your heart must from evil be free. Give me tonight. In the end, it's up to you. I know God is on my life tonight. I know, just as sure as my name is what it is, there's some folk sitting in this place tonight, been coming before and got an attitude. You came this time because you said, I'll come. But you better not say something to me because I got something for you. I'm sick of you. How we're talking is Jesus stuff. You're getting on my last nerve. Can't nobody be that happy. Yo, hate, but let me tell you something. You think we doing it trying to harass you? Ain't nobody trying to harass you. We just trying to save you. But I tell you what, in the end, it's up to you. Hallelujah to God. They used to have an old saying that you could take a horse to the water, but you can't make them drink. Come on, shout hallelujah. I heard the songwriter say, what more? Can he do? He laid the foundation, opened up the way. What more can he do? I'm telling you, the sinner's been in here all week, and you've heard this message. You've heard a shout message, you've heard a warning message, you heard one in between, and you heard this one. Now, in the end, it's up to you. You got to make the move. Now, you can sit there with your arrogant self. Excuse me, y'all. You can sit there with your bad self. And say, I'm not going to move. But let me tell you something. Whether you move or not, I remembered Lot's wife. And I remembered Lot. I'm Lot. I'm going to keep on creeping up. Now, it's one thing to get your life in a mess. Now, shame on him for getting it in a mess in the first place. But if God is good enough, to come back and get me out of this. Carry me back to safety. Plant my feet on solid ground. I'd be a fool. I'd be a fool to give up now. Who shout out, huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I might as well preach the thing. I'm going home tomorrow. Let me tell you something. There's some folk in here. God has given a second chance. Hear me. God has given you a second chance to have a full and free relationship with God. God has given you a second chance to come to that crimson fountain. God has given you a second chance to taste and see that the Lord is good. God has given you a second chance to come and lay your head on His bosom. God has given you a second chance to come to know Him whom to know is life eternal. God has given you another chance to wrap your arms around the Lord of glory. God has given you another chance to taste the bread of life. God has given you another chance to sit at the feasting table. God has given you another chance to hear the songs of Zion. God has given you another chance to get your shout in. God has given you another chance to lift your hands in praise. But in the end, it's up to you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.